Abundant Life Ministries, where lives are changing. Our pastor, Zinzalay R. Legend, brings you this message. Follow her on Twitter at MyPastorLegend and like Abundant Life Ministries, WLAC, on Facebook. Be blessed.
Father, this is your time. We are your people, and we need to hear a word from you. You are our hero. You fight our battles. And now we want to be still and know that you are God. Give us a word that will transform our lives, not just for one day, but for every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Everything we say and do sends messages to those who we come in contact with. Amen. Every single word that comes out of our mouth, everything we do, where we go, who we hang out with, what we don't do, what we do do, people look at us. They're watching us. They're observing us. They are taking it in, and they're making assessments, evaluations, and judgments based on what they can hear, see, and feel from us. Now, if you were here last week, you remember that every thought leads to a word, and every word leads to an action, and action leads to a habit. A habit develops character, and character determines our destiny. So we've got to be careful. We've got to be mindful about what we say and do, because people will judge us and determine who we are based on what they think they hear and see from us. Have you ever met someone who professed to be saved, but you couldn't tell it because they still smoke, they still drink, they still party, they still dress inappropriately, and yet God's Spirit lives on the inside of them. But there's so much world on them, we cannot see Christ in them. This is what you call the worldly Christians, the saints who are wearing the garments of the world. I wish I had somebody to help me preach this today. God is calling for his children to be sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and fire baptized. I know we used to sing about it, but that's his expectation. So we've got to be willing, family, to make some sacrifices in our lives in order to be found in the likeness of Christ and in order to be pleasing in his sight. God says, be holy, for I am holy. And that ought to be reason enough to live according to his will. Amen, somebody? But today's witness of Jesus in the church has been compromised. Christians don't value looking like him, talking like him, acting like him anymore. We don't value our holiness. We don't value the fact that there's certain things that we just are not to wear on our bodies or on our spirits. The Bible says we are the bride of Christ. And that being the case, we are being called, family, to dress appropriately, inside and out. Are you still gonna help me preach it? God expects us to wear our witness. So the question is, whose witness have you been wearing? God's or the devil's? Today I come to you from the theme, what not to wear. What not to wear. We are taking his word to the world. God says that really means we are being his word in the world. And the witness is what we take out there based on what we have seen, heard, or experienced in him. Today we're going to be in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. We may spend more time on some verses than others. We're going to let the Holy Ghost do his thing. Amen. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 3, written to the church at Colossus by Paul, giving instructions to the church on how they are to live their lives. He's been admonishing them to rid themselves of those things that are not of God, like rage and malice and slander and filthy language and what have you, and not to lie and to take off your old self with these practices and put on your new self, okay? So now at verse 12, he says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, therefore, as God's chosen people, now, we often take that for granted, but the thing about it is we did not choose our salvation. He chose us to be saved. He created us to be saved. We were on a path. Our destiny was leading to hell, but predestination was leading us to glory. So in the appointed hour, God woke us up to our salvation, and we did not deny it. We were chosen. It's a blessing to be chosen because there's somebody in our life that was not. Lord, have mercy. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Now, Paul is talking to a particular audience who he has spent some time with and has gotten to know, and they've let go of some of the practices of their old self, and so he's able to refer to them as holy, a reflection of God, not lacking anything. There's wholeness in their life because Jesus is the center of their joy. And then he says, and dearly loved. Now, it's one thing to be loved because you can be loved, come on now, and not be liked. You can be loved. You got family members that love you, but they may not like you too much. You got some family members that you love, but you may not like too much. But when you are dearly loved, you're liked as well. He enjoys being in your presence. He likes to have conversations with you. He likes spending quality time with you because God dearly loves you. So because of the fact that we've been chosen without asking for it, that we're now wholly a reflection of God and we are dearly loved, we got some things we got to be responsible to do. Clothe yourselves. Can you see what I got on today? I have on a lace top, a maxi skirt, and some kitten heels. You can see that, right? So when you clothe yourself in something, people got to be able to see it. It's got to be evident in who you are. So clothe your spiritual self with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. In other words, I'm not going to break each one down. Don't worry about that. We got somewhere to go. But the point is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The point is, give people the benefit of the doubt. The point is, just because you've hit a spiritual level does not mean that you can expect everybody around you to be at that same level. So don't get all upset and torn all apart because they're not acting as you would have acted in that situation. 13, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Did they talk about Jesus? Then why you get all upset when they talk about you? If they talked about Jesus and there was no sin in him, expect somebody to talk about you. Oh, I know somebody said, well, I expect the world to talk about me because they don't understand Jesus and my salvation. No, you can expect your brother and your sister in Christ to talk about you because they're not at the same level in their spiritual walk as you are. Don't look down on them. Don't judge them. Don't treat them any differently. Understand where they are coming from, even though you guys have the same church, the same teaching, the same covering, that does not mean you won't have the same walk with your God, with God. So we've got to be able to forgive them without getting all hurt and all super sensitive and whatnot. We got to let it go, because if they really, really knew better, they would really, really do better. Clothe yourself in these things. Let somebody see your kindness, your compassion, your patience, your forgiveness. 14 says, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Love is your spiritual overcoat. Don't you get quiet on me now. Because before they might be able to see your patience, your kindness, your compassion, they going to see your love. He says, above all these virtues, put on love. In other words, act like God, because God is love. Be willing to extend yourself to other people, even if they're not willing to extend themselves back to you. Be willing to go above and beyond the call of duty, not because they deserve it, but because God deserves it. Because God is watching. Because God has expectations of us. Be willing to love even if you don't get love in return. Because it's going to come back to you in other ways, shapes, and forms. When you extend love, trust me when I say, you're going to get love in return. Maybe not from that one, but it's coming back to you. Because you can't put anything out into the universe, good or bad, without it coming back to you. 15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Peace is a wonderful thing. We were talking about it Wednesday night in life study. Peace is so valuable, and it's so elusive, which means sometimes it is hard to get, because sometimes they will disturb our peace before we even realize our peace has been disturbed. But we need to protect our peace, because our peace is supposed to rule in our hearts. And it says, remember, it says in Proverbs, above all else, guard your hearts, because everything you do flows from it. Anybody remember that? So he's now saying, let the peace of God be the ruler and presider of your heart, so that whatever flows from your heart has got to come through your peace that is found in Christ Jesus. Peace in Christ Jesus means I don't have to know where it's coming from. I know it's coming. Peace in Christ Jesus means I don't know how it's going to be worked out, but I'm going to stand and wait because I know he is working it out. Peace and faith are like best friends. You know how besties are. You see one, you see the other. You can't see one without the other. That's the same thing with peace and faith. They kind of are intertwined. You don't know where one ends and the other begins. But I'm trying to tell you, God is calling for the family of God to operate from a place of peace in their hearts, because there's too much chaos. There's too much disturbance in the hearts of the family of God. He goes on to say that because we are one among the members of one body. We each are a member of one body. If I'm not at peace, it's going to be real hard for you to have your peace. Because if you care about me and I care about you and you care about them, if our peace is disturbed, we're going to be concerned about what it is that's going on. So in order for us to be able to reside in this place of peace in Christ, we've got to be committed to growing up in him. And then he goes on in this same verse to say, and be thankful. That means that it doesn't matter what the situation and the circumstance is. It doesn't matter what's going on in our life right now. We need to be thankful because he is our hero. He fights our battles. All I need to do is be still and know that he is God. He will work it out. As a matter of fact, it's already done in the spirit. So I'm going to be still and wait for the earthly manifestation. And while I'm waiting, I'm going to say hallelujah. I'm going to say thank you, Jesus. I'm going to say glory to God. I'm going to say, Lord, you're worthy. You're wonderful. I love you. Thank you for choosing me. I know I didn't deserve it. I ran away from you. I was going in the opposite direction, but you erased my destiny and gave me your predestination. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We need to take out more time, family, to be thankful to God for the great things he has done. Verse 16 says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. So we're still talking about what not to wear, amen? And right now, Paul is telling us some of the things that we ought to be wearing. One of the things is the message of Christ. We need to be wearing the message of Christ. Last week, he told us to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow him. That is the message of Christ. The message of Christ is also our testimony, being willing and ready to let somebody know what God has done for me. I don't know about you, but I got a whole line of testimonies, some of them big, some of them small. I'm so excited right now that I was looking, trying to get internet in my house, and I found out my phone is a hot spot. I said, hallelujah, God did that for me. I'm thankful because I can still see with my eyes. My body has been healed. I'm thankful for the big things. I'm thankful for the small things. And I'll be the first one to let you know how good my God is to me. Let the message of Christ dwell richly among you. That means it ought to be a constant flow of conversation when you amongst believers. Believers ought not be talking about the housewives of Atlanta and all this other ridiculousness that we see on television. I'm not saying it can't never come up, but that shouldn't be the main thing we're talking about. I see some children of God get more excited about the housewives than Jesus. Ain't nothing right about that. Ain't nothing right about that. It says, admonish one another with all wisdom. See, we start in every life study with a word to the wise, where God is raising up people to be wise in his word. And we ought to be able to share that with one another, amen? And we ought to want to hear it. A child of God ought not be turned off because we just start talking about the Bible. We ought to be excited, and if we don't have nothing to add, we ought to want to listen. You ain't always got to add something, and you don't have to have the internal monologue talking about how insecure you are because you don't know the word of God. We're trying to teach you the word of God right now. If you stop talking to yourself and listen to what I'm saying, you might get something. We talk ourselves out of learning the word of God. Then he goes on to say, with psalms, because psalms were songs. They're lyrics to songs. In the Bible, I don't know if you know that. Psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. So that means that the child of God and the children of God, when we come together, we ought to sing with one another. We ought to spend some time thinking about the wonders of God in song. Don't waste wait to get here to hear a song from the Lord, of the Lord. You don't have to be, you don't have to be the greatest singer. You don't even have to profess to be a songwriter. But if you get in the presence of the Lord, I'm telling you, a song will bubble up in your spirit. You might not remember it later on in the day, but it's serving its purpose for you right then and there. And when we come together and spend some time together, we ought to be excited to share with gratitude a song that is in our hearts. That's why we need a theme song. I wake up every morning with a song in my heart. I'm singing before I open my mouth because I've been listening to so many songs that are just glorifying and magnifying the name of the Lord. You know, you ought to have more music in your life. And I'm not talking about the new KBLX. I'm not talking about KMEL. I'm talking about CHRIST. KINGDOM. We ought to have more of that in our lives because those songs will bubble up and we don't even realize it. We get in situations and circumstances, a song starts to bubble up and it starts to be that soundtrack that I was talking about a couple weeks ago where you just, I still have joy. Why, he's preparing me. I'm grateful. There's all kinds of things that God will minister to us in through song if we just give him the chance. And then we can share it with somebody else. Are you still with me out there? And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And whatever you do. Now, if what you're doing cannot be done in the name of Jesus, it ought not be done. That's your filter right there. And see, God is wonderful. You can go to a basketball game in the name of Jesus. You can go to a movie in the name of Jesus. You can go to a concert in the name of Jesus. There's a whole lot you can do in the name of Jesus, but there's some things that ought not be done in the name of Jesus. So whatever you planning, whatever you thinking about, whatever they done invited you to, filter it through the name of Jesus. Let it take a shower in his blood and then check it and see, should I do this? Should I do this? Don't talk yourself out of your blessing. Because see, there's a whole lot of promises aborted in the family of God. I know some of y'all don't believe in abortion, but you done already had several. Because God had impregnated you with a promise. You decided you wasn't going to believe him and you was going to go in your own direction. And there was a miscarriage. Because you felt something swirling around in your spirit, but you don't feel that no more. Because you decided to wear something other than what he, what other than what he told. Y'all get it. I don't like saying that. That's sad to me. I'm still talking about what not to wear. What not to wear. Now, I know that since Jesus has come, we're no longer under law. We're under grace. However, there is a law that God is calling for me to share with you today that we must abide by in order to take his word to the world. L-A-W. Language, action, wardrobe. Check your language. Filter it through the name of Jesus. And if he's not pleased with what you say or how you say it, stop. Cease and desist of saying that any longer. The child of God has to deliberately change how they speak. I told some of y'all what my favorite curse word was. I used to love to say it all the time. It was funny to me. I thought it was cute. But when I filtered it through the name of Jesus, I found that MF is anything but cute. Because who do I want to do that to my mother? Are y'all doing the math? You putting it together? Don't make me say it now. Check your language. change how you talk. How do I change how you talk? Change how you think. Change what you're thinking about. I mean, there's some things. I was trying to get download a book last night on my iPad, and you know I'm excited about my new iPad. It's just changed my life and all, can revolutionize my processes and all of that. But you know how technology can frustrate you sometimes. I'm on Amazon.com trying to get a little book, and it's not letting me put my password in. It's saying it don't recognize and all this other bad. And there was curse words flowing through my head because I was mad at Amazon.com. I had to check myself. It didn't come out of my mouth, but it was swirling around in my head. Something did come out. It wasn't cute, but it wasn't nasty either. It was a little bit, but she was there. She knows. She was the witness to my struggle last night. But I didn't say it, amen? So I didn't let it become an action or a habit or my character, and definitely not my destiny. Check your language, family. Don't talk all holy in the house of God and then get around your friends and your family and your woohoos and think you can say whatever you want to say. Let it be concealed. You can fill that in, whoever your woohoos are. Fill it in. Check your language. Check your actions. Some things we shouldn't do anymore. There's some things that we should stop doing. Yes, just release it and let it go. Block some numbers. Stop answering some phone calls. Stop going out in the middle of the night. Stop being around people that don't have nothing to do with Jesus. I don't care how long you've been friends. 18 years, 25. I don't care how long you've been friends. Jesus removed the disciples from their family and friends so he could teach them how to be holy. What makes you think you could be holy around your same family and friends that's not trying to be holy? No, you're not the exception. Somebody said in their mouth, in their brain, oh, I could do it. No, you can't. No, you can't do it. You might have family obligations, but you have to decide who is more important, what is more important, and who you act like. Because, you know, when you hang around people, you get to having the same kind of mannerisms and stuff. I know when I hang around people, I start to laugh like them. My laugh starts to morph into something else. I'm like, why am I laughing like that? That's not my laugh. It's harmless to laugh like them, but it's harmful to act like them. Check your actions. Just throw up the W. Wardrobe. That's number three, but it's W. This is the W. Check your wardrobe. We're going to start with the spiritual wardrobe. You just heard what Paul said, that we must clothe ourselves in. So if we're not being patient and compassionate and gentle and forgiving and above all else loving, then we've got some things that we need to change about ourselves. Amen, somebody? Now, you don't expect the babe in Christ, the one that's brand new, to be able to get all of this at one time. But once you've been in the Lord for a while, people ought to start to see you're more patient than you used to be. I remember you used to go off in a heartbeat, but look at you. Look at you growing in Jesus. That's so cute. People ought to be able to see our spiritual wardrobe. They ought to be able to feel the love emanating from us because it is our top coat. Is that making sense to you? Now, is it all right if we go on and get physical with it? Now, a child of God needs to be conscious and deliberate about what we wear, not just in the church, but everywhere we go, because we're taking his word to the world. How you gonna take his word to the world and we can see the bottom of your butt cheek? How you gonna take his word to the world and we can see all your extra cleavage? How you gonna take his word to the world and we see your flapping arms everywhere you go? God says that we need to be modest in how we dress. Some of us don't even know what size clothing we wear. You come up in here with two sizes too small. I don't know what kind of mirror. You got a funhouse mirror in your house if you think that's okay. We need to check how we dress it in a real mirror. Look ourselves up and down. Jump up and down. Can I worship in this? Can you see my stomach in this? If I can see my stomach, I can't wear that to church. Some of y'all got them cute little bras that don't hold nothing. You better get you some support. Get you some padding because we don't need to see what you got going on in there. I'm talking about what not to wear. Then you come up in here with your 5-inch platform heels looking all cute, your little ankles doing that little as you walking past. If your ankle does a little how you going to be able to worship? How you going to be able to glorify God when you can't even walk across the church? And let me tell you something. It's the difference between church clothes and kingdom clothes. Let me tell you. It's the difference, because see, church clothes are binding. They got hats. They got stockings. They got a whole lot going on. So you can't really fully get your praise on. Do you know what I'm talking about? God is not looking for this ministry to wear church clothes. You ain't got to wear no church clothes. He's looking for kingdom clothes. He's looking for clothes that you can worship him in without showing us some stuff we don't need to see. He looking for us to have garments that are appropriate both in the church and outside of the church. See, kingdom clothes, you're supposed to be able to wear everywhere. You really can't wear church clothes everywhere, because if you go in the grocery store with your church clothes on, everybody looking at you like, where you been? What you doing? Kingdom clothes blend in. They might be a step above the average, but they not looking all separated from other people. I hope I'm helping somebody today. Because now you're going to be held responsible for what you wear up in here. Still talking about what not to wear. In taking his word to the world, we have responsibilities, family. There's a certain way that God wants us to present ourselves. Are you getting that today? Too many Christians are sending the wrong messages into the world today. God has been telling us it's time for a new wardrobe. It's time to find out what we should be wearing. You know, when you're in a relationship with somebody, you be trying to dress all extra nice because you're looking for that compliment when they see you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about in here? Don't have me call you by name. I done see you get cute. I've seen it when you got a new boo in your life and whatnot. Even if I don't say it, don't mean I didn't see it. But God says it's time to stop dressing to impress the world. And it's time to start dressing to impress the Lord. But since we don't know what to wear, we leave our house every day dressed inappropriately. Oh, Lord, help us. We go out dressed looking like the devil. We go in the world wearing fear, doubt, anger, rage, confusion, rebellion, revenge, bitterness, lust, unforgiveness, selfishness, super sensitivities. We leave the house looking like the world, talking like the world, thinking like the world, acting like the world. And by the way, what message is your ringtone sending? Drunk in love, or he is my hero? Because see, the truth of the matter is we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away and the new has come. God wants me to make it clear to you today, family, that it's time to dress appropriately inside and outside. It's time, family, for a brand new wardrobe. It's time to learn what not to wear. So throw your worldly garments out and go into the closet of God and find some new things to wear. He says, I'm bringing on a brand new you. He says, I'm taking you on a shopping spree. He says, you can go in my closet and you can get everything you want, anything you want. It's no limit. You want joy? Get all you want. You want love? Get all you want. You want peace? Get all you want. Contentment, forgiveness, faithfulness, gentleness, mercy, grace, kindness, self-control. God says blessings, hope, dream, fulfillment, purpose. Go on. You can have it. You can get it. You can have all you want. It's no limit. Victory, no limit. Deliverance, no limit. Healing, no limit. God says there is plenty to wear in my kingdom. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. He says, ha, ha, ha. He says, you can look good in your garments of praise and still be fitted to defeat the enemy. He said, we can take his word to the world and defeat the devil all at the same time. But he wants us to dress like him. So we got to stop shopping in the wrong places where we picking up garments of hell. He says it's time to put on kingdom clothes and tell the devil to go to hell. But here's the good news. You don't even have to open up your mouth. You don't even have to use those words. All you have to wear is the message of Christ, and it will shut the devil down. So family, all you need to know now is what to wear and what not to wear. Amen? Amen?